Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in Northern British Columbia, being broadcast through Sales People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Welcome to the show. And we are patron-supported stations, guys. So if you like what we're doing and you like the content, please reach into your kitty and into your pocket and throw a little money into the kitty for the stations. I know they would really appreciate it. And there are a lot of people here working behind the scenes. It's my honor and privilege to be joined the first hour by Jody Craven, who is the PPC candidate for Skeena Balka Valley, my neck of the woods, and also star candidate for the PPC party, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, PPC candidate for Red Deer, I believe Red Deer Lacombe. I got that correct.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, guys. And I want to start off with you quickly giving us a quick bio about yourself and in short form why you joined the PPC party. And I'll let Jody speak first.
Well, pleasure being here. And thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor to be a part of this party, of this big movement that's going to be happening in Canada. We're the fastest growing party ever in Canadian history. The reason why I joined this party, it's a common sense party, and I'm fighting for our country and our people and our children's and our grandchildren's future. And that's the biggest reason. It's all common sense, basically. And what's your take on this, Laura?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I started running for politics, there was no People's Party of Canada. And so I got a real wake-up call when I discovered that the CPC had lost the plot, because I was standing very strongly against a really insidious children's curriculum resources called SOGI, Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity. And it had been pointed out to me that this was going into the classes. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of transgender books that were there and available from kindergarten to grade 5. Now, when I say dozens and dozens and dozens, I'm saying that I got that actually from Glenn Hansman, who was the BCTF president, now removed, thank goodness. When I began to fight that, I saw the world had gone upside down. I got targeted by some of the activists. And I do say activists, because let me tell you, I've got some great LGBTQ people who support me 100% with my perspective on this SOGI. But it's the activists. It's those who have an agenda to make their perspective on life everyone's perspective. When I began to fight that, I was a national television show host daily. They called my work. They called the CRTC. They called Vision TV, Joy TV, and all of the advertisers for the shows that I was on. And they said, we want her removed. She has no right to speak in Canada in this way. And I was stunned. This eventually led to the loss of my job, actually, because the pressure was too much for them. And they said, you know, this seems to be your new calling. And, you know, we release you to your new calling, like be blessed and be gone. And so I was like, oh my goodness, I had a red pill experience. Everything that I thought I had the perfect life, but in actual fact, we have got some ideologies set up in the land. Nobody dares to speak against it unless you want to receive some hate mail, some name calling. And so I thought, you know what? I got to go to Parliament. I was actually inspired by a transsexual who said that he was going over to Parliament all the time and he was lobbying people for his trans agenda. Well, I decided that I better start lobbying for mine then, because common sense had been completely lost. I went to, of course, put my name forward with the only party that I had ever voted for in my whole life. That was the Conservative Party of Canada. I believed that they stood for us. I believed they understood what the grassroots was going through. I believed that the Conservative of all the parties was going to stand up for those who don't accept gender fluid ideology and certainly believe in parental rights and do not want that taught to their kids. But what I found out was that they do not wish to stand. It doesn't matter what they believe. I'm not certain what they actually believe, because when someone has no courage and when someone has no ability to speak their mind and to stand in the nation, they are all bowing to political correctness. I don't know what they think, but they wouldn't run me because they didn't want to have a problem with the activists the way that I'd had a problem. So finally somebody said, what about Maxime Bernier? And I said, you mean the French guy? And the French guy, you know, like, do we trust anyone from Quebec? I mean, what are you thinking? I have to talk to him. I decided I would run independent, actually, prior to this, and I was going to get names. I was so convinced I had to change this nation because it was upside down. And if it wasn't going to be with the Conservatives, we didn't have Maxime Bernier yet. But once Maxime ran, they said, you know, what about talking to him? I said, well, I'd absolutely love to speak with him. I spoke with Maxime Bernier for about 15, 20 minutes. He listened to my story. He found out what he says my name funny. You know, he says, Logaline, what is this Soji? And so I explained to Mr. Bernier that it's they're telling little boys that they can be a girl and little girls that they can be a boy. And they got dozens and dozens and dozens of transgender books going in across our nation into our schools. And he got real quiet and he said, you know, you can't teach kids that stuff. Send me a resume. And he understood something for the very first time that I had not seen any other politician understand, that we live in a democracy. We live in free society. He was actually standing up for my right to believe whatever I wanted to believe. And he was willing to stand for me. And so that's how I came to the People's Party of Canada, because he took a chance. When he took a chance, it took a long time for him to approve me. I knew what he was thinking. He was thinking, I'm going to have to go through the fire in order to run her. And sure enough, CBC, CTV, live programs called me a bigot and a transphobe. And in the most courageous move I've ever seen from any politician in my entire life, do you know what Mr. Bernier did? He stared right into the eyes of those hosts and he said, no, she's a Canadian mother. We are guaranteed our rights and freedoms by the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. She has every right to her opinions, her beliefs, her religion, and she doesn't want the state teaching her kids something she doesn't believe in, and I'm proud of her. At that moment, I knew we not only have a new party to vote for, but we have a courageous leader, and we have not seen the likes of this in our nation before.
I couldn't agree with you more, Laura Lynn. And when I started looking at the PPC party, and I listened to Mr. Bernier talk, and I started looking into the candidates that were getting involved in the party and the levels of intelligence of these people, it spoke volumes to me. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Bernier in person, but I have had two conversations with him on the telephone. And I honestly believe that I was talking to a true individual, that there was nothing phony about this man. And you know what? I never thought I'd get involved in politics in my life. I just can't even visualize that. But here I am, and I've got my feet right 100% in this fire, because we don't change what's going on in this country right now, we are not going to have a country in the very near future. And I see the urgency. I see the urgency, and I just applaud you for your courage. Because believe it or not, folks, it takes a lot of courage to stand up these days. Because Laura Lynn's telling me the attacks that we're seeing, well, these attacks are just going to ramp up and ramp up. They're going to use every little tool in their garage to silence this message that we need to get out to Canadians. Jody, what do you think?
Well, I'm on the same line as Laura Lynn there. You know, I was a hardcore NDP person all my life. All my life, eh? And NDP, their thing was like supposed to be for, we're here for the workers, we're here for the unions, but they're turning red, right? They're liberal now. So then, Jennifer Clark, nice lady in Nanaimo, she ran in the by-election. She invited me to go down there and help her campaign. And she goes, come meet Max Bernier, come meet Max Bernier. So I went down there, helped, Jennifer Clark out in Nanaimo, and, I met Max Bernier, and he was different. Like, he really listens to a person. And then we talked about my area, about the pipelines and all that, and he listened. And, you know, then you're hooked after a while. You're just seeing, you know, all the common sense coming out, right? So, but, then I got to meet Laura Lynn in Ottawa. So it was all good.
It's wonderful, Jody. Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've met anybody in the party that doesn't resonate exactly what you guys are resonating right now, that our hearts are really broken at what we see going on in this country. And we want to make sure that our children are going to be able to enjoy the freedoms and the privileges and what we enjoy growing up in this country. And I'm 65 now, so I'm kind of classified as an old stock Canadian. But what I see going on right now, it gets me right to the heart when I realize what's coming for our kids. And that's what's got me involved totally and 100% supporting Max, because there is no other candidate that makes any sense in his platform. I've looked at the platform and I've studied it, and it is all about common sense approach to all the problems we have. So thanks for getting in here, guys, because we need really good people involved, and I see them coming forward.
Like, you bet.
Yeah. I followed your by-election campaign against Jadman Singh there. Uh-huh. And I've watched that debate you had with him a couple times, Lauren. I'll tell you. When you were talking, guys, if you haven't seen this, I'll post it in the chat for you guys, but you got to go look at this conversation, because when Laura Lynn is talking, you can see the eyes and the body language of the other three leftist retards that are in the room with her. And it's the most entertaining video I've ever seen, Laura, because you just blew them right out of the box. So.
It was really fun. And, you know, at one of them, Jagmeet Singh, he calls me a racist, right? And then, so my people are there on one side of the room, and his people are there. And I mean, a brawl almost, you know, erupted right in the middle of this debate. That was just the most fun I'd ever had. I just, it's a blast. Yeah, it was beautiful.
But yeah, tell us a little bit more about what you think about, I wanted to get your views on abortion for one, and then we'll get into more of the political, because I know if we get into that conversation, it could go for a while, but it seems to be a very taboo subject in Canada. And in my opinion, it's one that needs to be brought forward and discussed openly.
Yeah.
What we see on with abortion right now in Canada, and the funding of government and abortions, how it's being promoted, and how our government's spending millions and millions of dollars in other countries around the world to promote it. It's got to come to a stop.
$700 million around the world for sexual health, which really, really does break down to mostly abortion. Fascinating that it has become such a taboo topic. And I really feel that this is the failure of polite Canadians to actually simply state their opinions, because they haven't gone, they haven't begun to support abortion necessarily more. They just have gotten quiet about it. So when you get quiet about something like that, everybody starts thinking that everybody thinks the same thing. And Paul Mitchell and I, first of all, it began talking to Mr. Bernier when he came to Burnaby South. And I said, you know, I let him know. And in the debates, I even brought up that, you know, Jagmeet Singh, he's 100% abortion. And actually, I don't believe that at all. His wife was sitting in the, she was squirming, because, you know, even with his, Sikh religion, they're not for the killing of the unborn. People just, they hold to these values out front because they don't want to be called names or whatever. And a very interesting thing, has happened. And that is that this whole abortion debate has erupted. And, you know, we can't prove it, but I'll tell you what we're all thinking and saying is that, I knew behind the scenes that a lot of people are real upset. We've got a movie come out. It's called Unplanned. It's a true story of one woman's experience, you know, working in the Unplanned organization, finding out it's all about money. It's not really about women. And that's the truth of this issue. And so when that was all happening, I knew there's a lot of people that really, they count on the conservatives to be the moral standard. They all voted in Stephen Harper because, hey, he's pro-life. Oh, Andrew Scheer, he's pro-life. He has a perfect voting record. This is the guy. This is the man for us. And what do you know? You know, as soon as he gets any pressure put on him at all, he now says he will block and oppose all abortion legislation. He wants to assure the Canadian public that this will not be an issue, and that, in fact, the only people that keep bringing this up is the Liberals. You see, there's one group that Mr. Scheer has forgotten about, and that is his base. That is the people that have voted in the Conservative Party of Canada year after year after year, is those who care about life. And so, no, it's not just the Liberals that are talking about this, Mr. Scheer. So I told Mr. Bernier I would really, man, it would be an honor and a privilege one day to put forward a bill on abortion, a private member's bill. And he said, absolutely. You know, I believe that anyone can do this. And, you know, we'll have to have a look at the bill and, you know, see what we think of it. So my colleague, Paul Mitchell in Red Deer Mountain View, and I, we put together a bill and we did a press conference here in Red Deer. We had some action come from Calgary and from Edmonton to come and, you know, see what we're talking about. And we put forward our bill to end late-term abortion. It's not a perfect bill for those who believe in life, but it's somewhere, because in 30 years we have had no bills going forward in our nation. So we wanted to get something that we thought we could get agreement bipartisan. And we put this out. Next thing you know, Maxime Bernier, he's got all these French reporters in Quebec. Mr. Bernier, you know, you've got, you know, these candidates putting forward this bill. Now, what was interesting to me is nobody in Western Canada was paying any attention to this. Right. So you know, Ontario or wherever. But in Quebec, they got a hold of this. Two candidates in Red Deer, Alberta put this bill out. So Mr. Bernier starts getting a lot of heat for it. And they're saying, well, what do you think? You know, now let's remember Maxime Bernier, this has not been his issue. It's not on his radar. It's not even really something, you know, I think that he ever wanted to deal with. But they're like, you know, and he's voted pro-choice on record. His record is voting pro-choice. You know, he's a freedom guy, right? Like, oh, choose. It's a woman's body. You know, he had all that down. So what they start saying is, well, when do you think life does begin? Like, when do you think that it is okay? Or, you know, are you on board with these, you know, two candidates? And in exasperation almost, he puts out the message, well, if it's 2 days before a baby is born, I think that's infanticide and murder. Well, the press goes crazy. Everybody yeah. reports on it. But the thing is, it's all in French. So Maxime Bernier comes to Kelowna and he looks at me, you know, and I said, welcome to the West Coast. You know, we were doing a little get together there out there. And he says, oh, Logalin, I'm in so much trouble with the French press. I'm like, you're kidding. Like, what happened? He goes, oh, they asked me about abortion. And I said, it's infanticide and murder. At this moment, I start squealing for joy. I'm like, this is amazing. And he's like, oh, and he's kind of rolling his eyes like I'm in so much trouble. So I go home to my hotel that room that night, and I begin downloading all the French version. I said to Maxime, I said, Max, can you please say this in English? Because our people need to know. They need to know that you're allowing for the democratic process, that you will allow abortion to be spoken about, that you will even say some pretty controversial things. That, by the way, most people, even liberals, even NDP, even conservatives who are not pro-life necessarily, they believe that a baby that's viable outside the womb is worthy of protection. And so I then start downloading all of this. And so all of this to say that all of a sudden, when it all came out sort of in the Western papers and in the, you know, in the English language, all of a sudden, everywhere Andrew Scheer goes, what about abortion? Okay, so I know full well that they do not want to have that. They want to be more of a centrist, pragmatic, and lean to the left and get everyone to, you know, not have anything to say. So what I believe is it has to be open. It has to be something that's debated because it is to the core of most people. So I've been on the I'll finish with this. I'm sorry for my long answer, but it's so exciting to see what's happening because it is blowing this wide open again. And we needed that. We needed that. I'm on the campaign door knocking, and I mentioned this to certain people, and they're like, oh, well, I'm really pro-choice, so you've really lost me there, you know? And I say, oh, okay, so now if a baby's 8 months in the mother's womb, are you fine with it being dismembered and you know, destroyed? And are you okay with that? Oh, gosh, no. And I said, oh, well, then what do you mean that you're pro-choice? Well, of course they don't do that to the, you know, to a child. And I said, actually, there's no laws in Canada, ma'am. That baby's life can be taken right up to the birth canal. Yep. No. Yep. Yes, it's true, ma'am. All of a sudden they're going, well, what did you say your bill was? And I said, well, it's just for 24 weeks and on when a baby's viable outside the womb. Isn't that reasonable? They look at me with shock and they say, well, of course, yeah, that is reasonable. In fact, many people say, well, that's too late. Like it should be like 12 weeks. I mean, you know, you should be able to make a decision. So I'm excited. I'm excited about Canada talking about it, the protection of the unborn.
I'll let Jody talk in a second, but it's awesome because really what it comes down to, folks, is we've got to vote with our values and our morals. Yes. I watched Unplanned, and it brought me to tears in ways that, I mean, it broke me right down. And I wish that everybody could watch that movie because it completely changes your perspective on the abortion industry. The fact that Planned Parenthood Parenthood has performed last year alone in the United States, 387,000 abortions that were murdering the unborn. And I have a very strong stance on it. I believe that life begins at conception. But this bill is a step forward. We see multiple states in the United States of America putting forth very, very strong legislation now protecting the baby in the womb. So we see all this positive energy going in the right direction. And it really is a subject that needs to be brought up. Because what we're doing in Canada right now, abortion up to the time of the birth canal, folks, that is murder. That is a beautiful life that's about to come into this world, and it's allowed to be snubbed. To me, this is a barbaric
situation. Sociopathic behavior. You become sociopathic. Yeah.
It's beyond that. Without getting into too much of that, more of this conversation, to me, it's from the depths of hell. Okay. And I don't know how else to describe it that we're murdering thousands of children. And boy, I'm glad my mother didn't abort me, Laura. Thank God for that.
Jody,
your thoughts on this?
Well, I also went to see Unplanned, the movie there the other night, and there was a lot of people that were moved on it. And I signed that bill that Laura Lynn made up. But on a personal note, our granddaughter, when my son fell in love with this girl and they were going to have a baby, it was unplanned, and the word abortion was brought up, right? And now we have a beautiful young granddaughter, and she's a gift of God to us. And I'm glad she wasn't aborted. And she's our life right now, and everything revolves around our granddaughter. So that's on a personal note. And I agree, we're the voice for the unspoken voice. We got to step up to the plate and start fighting back, right? And start making people aware. And that's, the other note I wanted to say is when I go to the debates on this, I want to open up the adoption law in this country too. And that might help. It's not the solution, but it's a piece of the puzzle that will ease people's mind. Like, hey, it's harder to adopt a Canadian kid than a foreign kid. Why is that, right? So that's what I have to say about this topic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Oh, boy. The whole world's laughing at us right now, unfortunately, again, because of the antics of our so-called prime minister. But this brown face ordeal that came up this week. What an example of a socialist we have as a prime minister. Anybody doesn't know what a socialist is. It's somebody that blames you and brings onto your shoulders exactly what they're doing in life. And I want you to comment on this week because it's a pretty hot topic right now for the Liberal government. Wouldn't you say, Laura?
Yeah, absolutely. And now, you just use the term brown face, right? So maybe I'm just not politically correct, but we got people calling it black face and brown face. Okay. And what do we all, where did the brown face come from? Because that's the very first time that I've ever heard brown face. So isn't it funny? Like, is that the left's way of,
I think they're trying to downplay it a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Deflecting.
Right. Yeah. And so there, I was listening to a video by Michelle Rempel. She's the CPC MP in Calgary Nose Hill. And of course, she's all over the trans agenda, and she's hanging out with transgender Morgan Oger, who is getting rape shelters defunded because they don't accept men who identify as women in a women's rape shelter. Anyways, that's one of good, Michelle Rempel's good friends, but she also called it brown face. And I was like, I wonder why she, so I was just kind of sort of wondering about your choice there. Like what, and I'm not sure if I'm missing something because I am outdoor knocking and I might be missing that it's better to call it brown face, but it's terrible. No matter what you call it, isn't it? Like it's so hysterical.
Hey, Barry, me and my wife were talking about this earlier this morning. And, this happened 20 years ago, and we did courses in our company that this is wrong, do this is wrong, right? Being political correctness. So, and he was a teacher at the time. So he didn't do it once. He didn't do it twice. He did it three times. He knew exactly what he was doing, right?
Right. And how many times did we not know about if he's actually been, caught three times on camera?
Exactly.
What I feel is that the left makes up these rules on what's politically correct, right? And then it's exactly their rules that crucify them. And exactly. That's a fascinating thing, right? They make up all this stuff of what's right and what's wrong. For instance, a lady yesterday told me that when she was in kindergarten, and she's an elderly lady, the teacher got them all to basically put on blackface. And they did a little skit, and they were paying honor to their fellow African American or African Canadian, fellow students. They were actually doing it out of respect. And so she says it's just such a curious thing that it's become so racist to do this, or, you know, whatever. And certainly, boy, none of us better ever do anything like that. But, you know, it's funny that the rules change and the left puts in all these rules, and then their own rules strangle them.
They change the rules and the rules come back and bite them on the butt. And that's exactly what we see going on. They preach to us about how we should run our lives, every aspect of our lives. And then this comes out and everybody's going, well, wait a second. Hold on. Isn't this kind of a little bit being of a hypocrite, Mr. Trudeau? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's well, and then you got a few polls coming around, and we see his numbers plummeting. A couple of them are independents that I looked at today, and seems to be a big drop in support for him. So he's shooting himself in the foot. And boy, I'll tell you, it's just not Trudeau, man. It's the whole establishment quo, the Conservatives, the NDP, the Greens, or the Liberals. You're talking about the same snake with just a different head, folks. But what we're talking about now in Canada is a revolution, the way we do politics. We're talking about common sense approach to problems. We're talking about putting Canada first and take care of our people before we spend our grandchildren's grandchildren's money on supporting other countries in the world. And this is what's going on here for the last 4 years in Canada. We have a government that's basically bankrupted the country. It's destroyed our economic systems. Our industries are being shut down. Our pipelines are being shut down. People are in despair. We see a great drop in spending by the general public. And these are things that people aren't aware of, but it's all going on. And it's going to come to a head if this continues to go on. I mean, the ultimate game is destruction of the West. And without sugarcoating it, that's what I see happening. Go ahead, Laura.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And thank heavens. Do you know the very first tweet I heard that Maxime Bernier said was, I declare political correctness dead, something to that effect. And it was, I had never heard of him before. Do you know, Barry, that when I felt that, when I heard that, I felt a shiver go up my spine as if something inside me was saying, there's a new season and we need to do something different than we're doing. And I thought, I don't know who that man is, but whoever he is, he knows what needs to happen, and political correctness must die. We're losing our rights and our values and our principles on this political correctness altar.
Yep, absolutely. And they're the masters of using this on society, because they've been using it for decades. They've been implementing these same strategies on the public, and it works. You know, it's problem, reaction, solution. And we see the same thing going on now. But what I see now is an urgency. I've never in my life thought I would feel an urgency that I do right now to stop this madness, because people say that, you know, your country can't be taken over. We're Canada, you know. If people realize how deep the roots of the United Nations tentacles are in our country right now, and the impact they're having on our policies and our immigration policies and all aspects of Canadian society, they're not paying attention. To me, we need to completely exorcise the UN from our society, because they have no say in what's going on in Canada, but we see it coming real. Yeah, absolutely. I'd like you to talk on that subject just for a second, if you don't mind, Laura.
Sure, about the UN.
Yeah. Yeah. The mass immigration pact, you know, the non-binding agreement that's law now.
Absolutely. And, and the Paris Climate Accord and everything, and Agenda 2030, you know, led in by Agenda 21. We have a serious problem with a very compromised, United Nations. The United Nations, I think they might have been, you know, started, and everyone hoped that they would be, a good protection maybe for a lot of different nations, but they are no longer a protection. They have become so powerful, or at least in their own minds, that they think that they can use their agendas. They are the ones spreading a gender, this, all of this gender, you know, bending that is going on. They have all of their gender stuff that they're trying to put into every nation. You know, climate alarmism. If they can get everybody worried about climate, it's nothing but a money grub. It's taking, you know, something that has changed naturally for decades and trying to say that, okay, if you give us more money, we're going to alter this whole thing. Good luck. Good luck trying to control climate change. And with Canada not even being like 2% responsible for anything, you know, we can clean up our waterways. We can make sure that we have good air, but we're not going to be able to control China and, you know, and India and some of the, you know, the countries that are more responsible for this. And furthermore, we're already, as Canadians, we have a budget that gives 2 point something billion to African, countries. For climate change, we don't believe for a second that this money is going to the legitimate cause that it says it's for. You know, where's the proof of that? I mean, they have lost the plot. And now Andrew Scheer jumping in full force with a bigger than anyone else, you know, report on how the Paris Climate Accord and we're going to reach these targets. I'm flabbergasted. Like, I can't even find in Red Deer, Alberta, which is, you know, 75%, 80%, CPC. Nobody believes in the Paris Climate Accord. I say, do you believe in this Paris Climate Accord? Ah, nah. And I said, well, we don't either. And they kind of look at me.
Can I jump in there for 1 second before I forget? Yep. You said, 2 billion goes to like Africa for climate change, eh?
Yes.
Like, I've been to Africa for about maybe 25 times in the last 5 years.
Right.
And every time I go there, nothing's done. Nothing. The money just goes into the corrupted politicians over there. That's my belief. You know, they're not improving their climate at all, you know, and like I see it for myself.
This process.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, it's the biggest scam being played on the human race right now. And we know what the climate accord about in Paris, man. Even if we were to meet those goals, and this is by the UN's own admission, we would only change the climate by 0.3 of a degree, which is nothing. We're talking about.
It's hysterical.
It's just an agenda, of course. And if we studied it, and I have, and I'm sure everybody here is pretty aware of what the United Nations is doing and how they want to turn us all into a third world country and completely control the planet. And this is one of the biggest tools they're using against us, how they're indoctrinating our youth and corrupting their minds with this crap. It just blows me away. You know, you've got this 16-year-old running around the world being treated like a god because she's trying to save the world. Well, anybody who knows anything about climate knows that we're not really having any kind of impact at all. It's that thing up in the sky called the sun. Go ahead.
Yep.
And we can't.
Yep. And if anything, we're cooling. We're on a cooling trend. and let's talk about.
That would fit their agenda at all.
That's right. And the UN's.
Explain that one.
Right, right, exactly. And the UN's agenda to, you know, to redistribute the populations and the wealth, you know, like they have some global agenda and we're like, no, we really like Canada. We made Canada. We founded Canada on principles that are to love your God and love your neighbor and be at peace and live, you know, kindly with one another and to be free. Personal freedom and having this responsibility that goes with that. And we are not for inviting people from other places who do not honor the rights of others, who in some respects, they throw LGBTQ off of roofs.
Yep.
Okay. This is not your country because we don't do that here. And we respect men and women as equal. We don't have any allowance for abuse. That is a criminal act here. That is a criminal act. So if you are not coming to our country to embrace the way that we live, the values and the laws of our nation, then maybe Canada is not your country because we do not accept that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we see going on right now, the attack on our culture, the amount of illegal immigrants coming into this country. And if this doesn't annoy people, I don't know what to say. But when these people are walking into our country, they're getting instant welfare, free medical, free dental. They're being put up in 3-star hotels under our dime. They've never contributed a penny to our economy, and they're being put on a pedestal above hardworking Canadians that have been all their life in this country and supported the system all their life. Well, you tell me what's wrong with that picture, folks.
Well, what's wrong with it? Hey, my family doctor.
I'm being sarcastic, of course. Yeah. Go ahead, Cody.
No, my family doctor, it took him, I think he said 8 years to get a Canadian citizenship. And he's a skilled worker. Like, let these people in. We need doctors and nurses. And we're letting, you know, a free pass for unskilled workers. You know, it doesn't make sense sometimes, you know.
You know, immigration is a great thing. If we were to have our system set up that we're bringing in economic immigrants that are going to assimilate to our culture, abide by our laws, and respect the country they've come to. But we're seeing the exact opposite. We're bringing in people that aren't economically viable for the country. If you look at the numbers that are actually employed after they've been here for a couple of years, it's staggering. And what we're seeing is the culture invasion, man. We're not seeing immigration. You have all these people that have lined up for years to get into Canada legally, and then you have people lining up at Roxanne Road and walking into the country with their designer suitcases and their cell phones out of seeking asylum from where? The United States of America, the safest country in the world, and this is what's going on in our country. Well, that doesn't annoy people. Our veterans are sleeping on the street. Our homeless numbers are going right through the roof. Our native people are living on reservations where the water's contaminated by mercury. The government knows about it. Nothing's ever being done. They promise this, they promise that, but nothing ever gets done. It just absolutely blows me away what's going on. Go ahead, Laura. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a mouthful. And I agree with every single thing that you're saying. And do you know who's most unhappy with all of this reckless immigration and migration? Is people who have come here years ago, who paid their way,
exactly.
Who are offended, who are stunned, and are thinking, well, we never had that. They've come here. They were penniless. They've made businesses because nobody helped them and gave them hotel rooms. You know that. You know, the hotels, some of them, they won't have this happen again because the hotels were not left in the same shape as when people arrived, right? Mm-hmm. It's there's just a real thing. And yes, we are to be kind to the immigrant. We are to be kind to those refugees. And there are real people. There are more Christians dying across the world for their faith. They're being beheaded. They're being murdered. And, I love that Maxime Bernier put that thing out there on his policy that we would give priority to Christians and Yazidis that are from Muslim countries that are actually in persecution, not just simply, you know, coming because they've you know, gotten made their way to America somehow.
Yep, absolutely. It just blows me away that this is going on. But, you know, the problem is a lot of Canadian people still really don't understand what is going on. So they hear a little bit on CBC and CTD, but that's restricted. So it's really important that we get this information out so people can judge for themselves what is going on. What do you think, Jody?
Well, I think it's part of the big puzzle, don't you think? Plug your ears. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, Canadians have to start, you know, not listening to fake news and start digging deep and understanding what's really going on in the world. And in Canada, because we're losing this country, and we got to get her back on track.
Yeah, we have a monumental task ahead of us. But what I have seen with this party is inspiration. And I hear a lot of people I've talked to here in the last couple of weeks tell me that they feel inspired, that they are actually seeing a party rise up and make absolutely common sense approach to everything that we seem to see going on in Canada right now.
Hey, yesterday I was heading out to the town next to me, Terrace, and some guy stopped me on the highway. He goes, "Oh, do you know Jody Craven?" I go, "I'm Jody Craven. I want to shake your hand. I want to shake your heart."
Yeah, I put up a sign on my truck yesterday. I had beeps going home.
He goes, "I believe in whatever it takes. You got me. Just tell me what I have to do, you know." And this is a blue collar worker, right? And you know, the word's getting out there, and we're like a tsunami. We're going to hit this country, eh?
You bet. Bet. And more people saying, "You know what? I have never voted in my life, and you've got my vote. Shaking my hand."
Exactly.
Tears in people's eyes when we're talking about this. I always say at the doors, I say, "I'm not here to be a politician. I'm here to stand and to restore integrity to our parliament." And they, you know what? They stop looking at the brochure I've already given them and they look up into my eyes because who is speaking this way? Do you know, when's the last time you heard a politician say, I'm here to restore integrity to parliament? Like, this is an uncommon thing. And even as they say it, you know, there's some scandal probably going on or some, you know, votes that they bought. And people are not buying, they're not buying the same old stories. They're willing to take a chance. And, you know, the slant, oh, Maxime Bernier, he just took his ball and, you know, and he left. When I explain to people, you understand that the night that there was an inside conservative election, right? That there were 7,466 votes, too many from what should be on the ballot. And the auditors said, we have a problem here. It was flagged. We have a problem. There's too many votes here. And there was some sort of chatter and, you know, we'll take care of it. We'll look into it. We'll kind of, you know, we'll do a recount. We'll, you know, some things going on. By the next morning, ballots are burned. Does Mr. Bernier take his ball and walk off or throw a fit? No. He goes, okay. Something seems to not be right here, but he shook Andrew Scheer's hand and he said, all right, you're the leader. And for 8 months, he would go and knock on Andrew Scheer's door and say, listen, I have a totally different platform than you, but I had like just 1% plus under you. I'm thinking you want to maybe know what all these people were really excited about that I had on my platform. Maybe we'll implement some of these things. No, eventually Andrew Scheer basically, you know, said we're not accepting any of your policies, and he backbenched him. He didn't listen. So there's none of this that Max, you know, just took his ball and left. That's not at all the case. Not at all. And I'll tell you, I would not have handled that graciously. 7,466 votes too many, and then ballots are burned without auditors being involved. No, that what is wrong there? Something's fishy.
Yeah, that's China is what you're talking.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, anybody that's considering supporting the Conservative Party of Canada only has to listen to Scheer's statement on the Paris Climate Accord, and also his statement wanting a seat on the United Nations Security Council. And I say to people, really, the most important thing, if you haven't already done it in your life, is go spend a couple hours on the internet and look into the United Nations. Look at the countries that are running the United Nations, where it started as the League of Nations prior to the Second World War, how major corporations had an influence in the Second World War, and how all ties into the United Nations today. It will absolutely astound you, and it'll allow you to put all the little pieces together, and you'll understand exactly what's going on in our country today.
Yes.
Go ahead. It's important. It really is, folks. It's important you sit down for an hour and do that research, especially, you know, I say United Nations to some people, Laura and Jody, and they still think it's a good thing.
They do. We used to maybe be able to think, you know, that they could do some good things or whatever. But this is right. Every prime minister looks like he's looking for his next promotion. You know, everyone who's running for the prime ministership, well, you know, after this, what am I going to do for work? You know, go back to being a waiter? I don't think so. An insurance salesman, a drama teacher? No, I got to get me on the United Nations. That's your next promotion. And so in actual fact, this is what has happened, is that, sorry about the noise, I was making myself some tea and I suddenly realized that this is how I talk to my girlfriends in the day when I'm upset. You know, I'm like going on and on about politics, but I apologize. But they're looking for their, like, what's next? You know, got to get your seat on the, that is the only explanation for this crazy decision to go so strong on this Paris Climate Accord when nobody buys it, not in the parties, you know? So when we're telling people every day, well, you know what? We don't support that. They're like, me neither. And then they go, you know, give me your brochure. Let me have a look at, see what's going on here. And, people like that he's willing to say radical Islam is a threat to our nationality. People like that. People like when he's bold enough to call a spade a spade. That's not being racist. We're not racist when we're running Professor Salim Mansour in our party. When we are running African Canadians, you know, we are running people of all ethnicities, all religions, and we love all people. We are about values. Do not conflate the two.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, when you look at the broad perspective of people that are getting involved in the PPC, we're talking about all ranges of society, all religious beliefs are supporting this party for one reason. They love what Canada is right now. And a lot of these people escape this stuff that's coming here now, and they see it, and they're getting involved for one reason, and one reason only is because their heart is in it. They want to protect what we have, and I see that right across the board. So it inspires me to see this, all sharing the same. We can put our differences aside. We have to. We have to put aside all the things that keep us apart as a society, and they're masters at putting divisions in our society. It's how they separate us and how they keep us divided so we don't see what the real enemy is. And now I see a party coming together from all sectors of society that are there for the real reason that their hearts are broken, and they're going to fight for it. Great to be in. Jody?
Yeah, I just want to do a little footnote here. As of September 21, 5:30, Liberals only have 151 confirmed candidates in all of Canada. So, you know, and people are worried about we're splitting the vote. I don't know.
Excellent.
I knew the numbers were low. What has Max got now? What do we got? I think we got them all covered, don't we?
Well, we have 324 and people still able to sign up. So very close to a full slate. Very close.
I know we're ahead of the NDP and the Greens.
You mean NDP Titanic? Is that what you mean?
Mr. Jagmeet Singh, how do these people ever get to this position? It blows me away. But then when you really start going down the rabbit holes, you understand why they are there and what they're trying to do and why we're all here right now trying to stop the madness. We're down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and I'm going to let Laura Lynn talk for a few more minutes about what she sees going forward and a few of her thoughts for a few minutes.
Got a bad connection at this second.
Okay. Anyways, Laura, I'll let you speak for a few minutes. We're down to the last 10 minutes. Uh-oh. Did we lose you?
Nope. He's still there. But, Barry, like I was going to say, like our riding, there were 327 square kilometers. That's the size of Poland. So yeah. I don't think a lot of people in this riding know how big this riding is, eh? So, people are slowly turning around and seeing the light.
People know anything about Skeena Valley. It's been heavy NDP for years and years and years. But we're starting to expect to change.
If there's any indication of the provincial election, they switched over, right?
Yep.
NDP was not there now, right? So
So we're seeing it change. Laura, are you back? I think she's still having problems with the connection, which it's a shame.
She'll jump in.
Yeah, if you get her fixed there, Laura, and you can hear us, just jump in when you get a second. But anyways, it's inspiring to see the developments in the party, and I see the increase in people on social media that are starting to agree with some of the platform of the party. And I just say to people, you got to take the time out, and it only takes an hour really to read the platform of the party.
Oh, yeah.
See if any of that makes sense to you. And I'll guarantee it does, because it's a common sense approach. And that's what I really like to see going on.
Speaking about that climate change, I have a video on my Facebook I'm going to be posting here soon. It's the Agenda 21. There's an Australian lady. I think she's a member of parliament there. And she's making it aware to the world what the United Nations agenda is. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'll be posting that video on my Facebook here pretty soon. Eh? So.
Well, I think the most important thing we can do right now is, like I said, people get educated, because there's more of us than there is of them. And if it's like, the grasshopper and the ants, well, if the ants finally wake up, they're going to take down the grasshopper. And that's really relevant to what I see going on in society right now, that it's really important that people take a few minutes and educate themselves on some of the things we talk about. Because if you don't, then you sound like you're crazy. We're not.
Right.
Well, Laura Lynn, are you back?
I'm back. It must have been one of those things, satellites in the sky crossing.
It's the Russians.
It's the Russians. Harper did it. Wait a second. Hold on. It's Harper's fault.
Yeah.
Anyways, Laura, we're down to the last. We got about 5 minutes before I'm going to have to go on a break. I want you to share your last thoughts with the audience, and then I'll let Jody share a few thoughts, and I'll close that first hour.
I just want to say that I've never been more concerned, like you said at the beginning of the show here today, what the state that Canada is in and what is able to blast us out of this state. I do know for sure that it's not any of the other parties. They do not have the moral integrity to be able to stand for what we do. And so Maxime Bernier is giving us a new opportunity. He is the most courageous leader that we've ever seen in our lifetime. He is willing to say things that others are not, and we need that. And we need the protection of parental rights. We need the protection of our values, our families. And I am so grateful. That is a good man. Anyone who puts down his integrity, I think they have no idea what they're talking about. A lack of integrity. Let me give you what lack of integrity really means. It means for your whole political career. And when you get in power, say, I can oppose abortion. That's a lack of integrity. That is not what Maxime Bernier is. So I appreciate him.
Absolutely. A breath of fresh air in Canada, to say the least.
Yes, he is.
Jody?
Well, I'm going to make this short because I see the time's running out. But I just want to say thank you to Max Bernier and Laura Lynn. They've been two great people, outspoken people in our party. And without them, you know, our messages won't be heard. They're two great people. It's honored that I even met them. And I'm working my ass off in this riding to change votes, to change people's thinking. And we need PPC in there. That's the bottom line, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to close it out here for the first hour. Laura Lynn, thanks again for joining me. It was an honor to have you on the show. And if
it was an honor to be here.
Well, Laura, I love talking with you. And if you ever can spare me another hour, just let me know and I'll get you back in here before the election happens. I would love
to
have
you. Let's do it.
Well, then please, I would be honored to have you back.
We should get Max and Laura.
I love women with high levels of intelligence, and you are right there, my dear. So thank you very much for joining.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Thanks so much.
We should get Laura and Max together.
You know, Frank,
I love it.
Oh, Frank Vaughn's a really good friend of mine. I talk to Frank all the time, and he said he was going to put a little bug in Max's ear on my behalf. So I know if he did actually hear a little bug from Laura Lynn, I'd love to get him and Laura Lynn on for a couple hours.
All right.
Show the phone lines and let's blast it out there.
I will put that bug in his ear. I promise you that.
Well, I'm at your disposal, Laura.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
You're
thank
the best.
You.
Guys, this has been a great hour, man. I could go on for another hour with these two people with no problem.
We could.
Jody, if you want to stick around, I know Laura Lynn's got to go, and I got Cody Pyatt coming in here for the second hour. He's a great guy. Jody, if you want to stick around for the second hour.
I'll stick around for a bit. Yeah, sure.
And Laura Lynn, thanks again. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me, guys. I'm going to take a break here for a few minutes because I've been drinking lots of coffee, and I'm going to be back here in 3 or 4 minutes with Cody Pyatt and Jody.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Welcome back, guys. Sorry for the delay, but a little bit of confusion with my guest for the second hour. His phone went dead and he plugged it in and he missed it. So I had the pleasure of being joined by Hanson Jen. Also, Jody Craven is still in the room with me. Welcome to the second hour, guys. And first off, Hanson, would you like to tell people a little bit about yourself and why you got involved with the PPC party?
Yes, I'm the candidate for New Westminster Burnaby. I got involved with PPC because when Maxime actually started the party and I looked at the website, I was trying to find a party that would actually represent what I believed in and what I valued. And when I saw the party platform, I was just surprised at how much it actually matched up with what I believed in and what I wanted to see in government.
Well said. Well, I think that statement would resonate with everybody that's involved in the party. You got your hands full down there in New Westminster, man. The influences in that community.
You know, so far it's actually been pretty good. People have been fairly open-minded so far, and you know, anything's possible. Quite frankly, just meeting the people and just trying to hear the concerns.
Well, I think everybody that's involved in this party, like we said in the first hour, is in for the same reason, is that we're really, really teed off of what we see going on in government, and we've got to stop it. And I applaud anybody that's getting involved, because it seems like Canada's got to a point where it's almost dangerous to take a stand against the big machine and voice your opinion and your feelings. But now we have a party coming up, and it's growing like crazy. People are starting to really resonate with what the party's saying. I think it's exciting to be involved myself. What do you think, Jody? I know you're getting the same feedback in our community up here. Jody is my representative for the PPC party, and he knows I'm going to support him any way I can in the next little while. But what are you seeing in our community, Jody? Because I know you're getting lambasted with a lot of questions.
Well, we're turning a lot of heads up here, and we're getting a lot of support and a lot of unexpected support. But what's interesting is, like I talked to Hanson Jin here probably daily now, and, we're becoming really good friends. We're talking about our writings, and his writing is like way smaller than mine, but he has way more population than mine. So we're chuckling about that. And, Hanson Jin, he's Chinese and I'm white with some First Nation blood in me, but we're best friends, and they call our, party like what, racist or something? I don't understand that. You know, we're the most diverse party in Canada, you know, and me and Hanson Jin are hitting it off every day. Like, we're laughing and, you know, telling jokes, and we're plugging our message out there every day. Every day we're out there. We're the hardest working party in Canada, right?
I see that with everybody that's involved in this party. They're out there putting major amounts of time in it because, like I said in the first hour, gentlemen, I see an urgency now in Canada that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, that what we all grew up with is really being threatened and could be taken away from us if we don't stop the madness. So I applaud what you guys are doing. And, boy, we got some issues coming up in this country right now that are just driving me crazy. I don't know what else we can say to people at this point, but take a look at the platform. And that's what I resonate with people every time I talk, is just take an hour, go on the computer and look up the platform with the party and read what the platform says and see if that resonates with what you place as values in your life. So like you said, Hanson, we finally have somebody speaking up for Canadians, and we haven't had that in the past, period. It's all been a charade. What are your thoughts on the incident with Justin Trudeau this week?
Personally, I think Maxime has said it the best. It's like, we don't need to call him racist, but if we go by his standards, he's the largest hypocrite in all of Canada. There's no sense in trying to digress and, you know, point fingers or try and label each other. That's not productive in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, it's not really something I'm going to dwell on. We talked about it a little bit in the first hour, but, it's, just another example of the hypocrisy of our prime minister. It's really woken a lot of people up to exactly what this guy's all about. So it's been a good week for people that are really standing up for Canada in my world. And, Jody, what are you seeing as a general response up here from people? Because what I'm seeing now in Tim Horton's coffee shop conversations is people are really starting to pay attention. People that wouldn't even look at this last year are now really starting to pay attention when I bring up the subject.
All I wish was
that really inspires you right now.
Oh, it's inspiring a lot of people. All I wish is, I wish this party started 4 years ago. We'd be a majority government for the rest of our country's life here, man. Holy. All these policies, just common sense, you know, job creation, all this, right? Respect, reform, unfair equalization, you know, reserve our national sovereignty, pipelines, scrap the carbon tax. I know everybody in this riding hates the carbon tax. So, you know, we're the only party that could get rid of it. Only party, right?
Biggest off in Canadian history, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's being shoved down our throats, but it is. Well,
Andrew Scheer, he says he's going to scrap the carbon tax, but he's not. Well, he's taxing them, but he's investing it into another thing. So it's still a carbon tax. So he's doing the double talk there, right? He's doing the politician talk.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things about Andrew Scheer that just don't add up. We could talk about multiple issues of what he really is and what he's really representing. I don't see any of that in the PPC party at all. I see people that are really shooting from the hip. They're speaking the truth. And you just don't see that today in politics. So, like I said in the first hour, it's inspiring me, and it's inspiring a lot of Canadians. It's actually giving us hope. Because if it wasn't for the rise of this party, what would be in, what kind of a situation would be in right now? We'd have the Green Party or the NDP or the Conservatives or the Liberals. Like I said, they're all the same snake with a different head.
Yeah, the Green Party reminds me of that nursery rhyme, The Sky's Falling, Chicken Little.
If you guys follow Frank Vaughn at all, he did a video on the Green Party. I think he called it, what did he call it? Pixies and Fairy Tales. Pixies and Fairy Tales. If you listen to the platform they're putting forward, it is absolutely absurd. but it all falls into 2030 agenda crap that's been pushed.
Absolutely. And funny enough, they don't talk about how they intend to pay for everything that they're putting out there on their platform. And that's the biggest thing. It's like, yes, everything sounds great, but who's paying for it? And how are we going to pay for it is the real question.
Exactly.
They don't expect the normal Canadian to ask that question. What they're playing is on the emotions and the heartstrings. And they tie it in with climate agenda and environmental stuff. And they tug on the heartstrings. They tug on the heartstrings of the youth that are very, very easily influenced, especially in the gang society we have where kids want to belong. They want to be involved. They want to feel like they're part of a group. All it takes is a couple apples getting in there and the whole batch is rotten. And that's exactly what we see going on with the youth. Go ahead.
Hey, Barry, Hansen hit the nail on the button there, right on the head, right? Where's this money coming from? You know, 70% of all Canadians, right, rely on the natural resource sector. So that's 70% people going to be unemployed. If you think about it the long way around, you know, what's the greens? Where's the money going to come from in the greens?
Thin air, man, because it's nothing they've put forward as a platform to me is viable. Nothing. But like I said, they play on the emotions of people. And that's what they do everywhere, man. It's always on emotion. You know, you tug the heartstrings and it stops the brain from working.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said in the first hour, the United Nations, let's speak on that for a few minutes, Hanson. You know, it's something that I really ask people to take time to look at is who the United Nations are and how far they have their tentacles into our society now. And it doesn't appear on the surface to be as bad as it is, but it's getting bad. What do you think?
What you say is very true. And, when I was growing up, the UN was supposed to be this fantastic model that everyone wanted to live up to standard-wise. And what we're seeing today especially is the fact that there's something that just isn't quite right. Many people may not be able to put their finger on it, but they know something just isn't right. And a few weeks ago, I had posted on my social media, it's like, this has got to be a joke. Venezuela is looking to gain a seat in the Human Rights Council. What does this mean in general for human rights? If we are going to look up to the United Nations and we allow a regime that has a poor human rights record sit on the council, what is that saying to the rest of the world? Right? Well, people have to open their eyes and start asking these questions. It's like, is this really an organization that we want to represent if we're part of the United Nations? And at the same time, is this the model that we want people to aspire to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you look at the top 10 countries on the United Nations Human Rights Commission, they're the top 10 countries in the world for atrocities against the human race. So go look at this, guys. I mean, these are the people that are laying down the rules and they're telling us how to live. And yet they're the worst perpetrators of crimes on the planet. And they're running the United Nations. People really have to investigate what the organization is all about because they are really getting their tentacles into Canada. The United Nations mass immigration, a non-binding agreement. Well, now it's becoming law in our country. And if they go ahead with this, our country won't resemble Canada in 5 years from now, period. It's all 2030 agenda, and it really all comes back to that. Everything we see going on in our government is tied to 2030 agenda.
Absolutely, and people have to wonder. I recently had watched a video on YouTube. It was a very good, actually, kind of discussion. And part of it is, it's like, you know, genocide is happening within our country itself with the mass immigration that they've basically signed on to. Because what we're doing is we're replacing our demographic. It's subversive. It's subtle, right? They're slowly displacing the natural Canadian population with foreigners. You gotta wonder what's the game plan here if we're just gonna welcome everyone in because we want a virtue signal and say, hey, you know, we are generous as a nation. Canadians are very generous, but bringing them here from where they're coming from to live on social assistance is not helping them. As a matter of fact, we're doing them a discourtesy because now we're unable to house them. Like, people are starting to show up as refugees. They're homeless. At the same time, our social assistance is already being overburdened, so we can't even take care of our own citizens. So it's, you you got to wonder, like, this whole thing, it just smells fishy.
Well, one only has to look to Europe, folks, for really an example of what's coming to Canada in the very near future, because the same agenda was played out there before it came to Canada. And they're 5 or 6 or 10 years ahead of us. But if you look at what's going on in Europe right now, and if that doesn't disturb you, how their culture has been undermined, how their cities now have massive no-go zones, that we're seeing murders all over the place, all under the guise of a radical religion, how that's being used to infiltrate the Western society and destabilize us. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing an invasion. And yeah, they want to displace the Canadian population. Well, does that sound like a good idea? If our forefathers were alive right now, I'll tell you, they would be marching in the street. So what's going on? What do you think, Jody?
Well, you know, this whole United Nations thing, I even heard that our counselors, doctors or psychiatrists, they can't mention a word about immigration, or because it's against the law, right? So then I already heard in Canada there's already some no-go zones in Canada. So I think they're just using Canada because we're so apologetic and we're so easygoing kind of people because we get along with everybody. It's like United Nations are the bullies and we're the victims, right? So they know, you know, but, you know, our party, we want to set this country straight, put it back on track and, you know, work for the people. You know, I heard a stat from Stats Canada. They interviewed 85% of the people that came into our country in the last 4 years. 80% of them are still on social assistance.
Yep.
So, you know, who suffers? Our seniors, our own people, our vets. So, you know, people need fresh water, you know, housing. You know, we don't have enough doctors or nursing staff or housing. Where are we going to put all these people, right? So,
and the government wants to ramp it up.
Yeah.
So what's going on? I mean, does any of this make any sense to anybody that's listening here? No. Because it's not supposed to. It's part of an agenda. It's to undermine Western civilization, bring us to our knees. And that sounds kind of crazy to some people that haven't gone down the rabbit holes, but that's exactly what they're doing right now. And I'll tell you, we got to stop it. If we want any semblance of this country in the future, this is a fight that we can't lose right now. That's why I see so many people starting to resonate with the platform of the PPC.
Yeah, that's right. The PPC, you know, sure opened my eyes. You know, it's all common sense policies. You know, if people just read our policies, that should sell them that right there, right? If they compare it, they should just read everybody's policies.
So are you seeing a good response? Go ahead, Hanson.
Yeah, just quite frankly, to add to Jody's comment there is our policies, you know, it fits the entire quote-unquote spectrum of people, right? It's not only radical libertarian type of ideas that you know, shuts down social assistance programs. It's like, no, we are within reason to say it's like, you know, we can be more efficient with our money by offsetting these programs or subsidize some of these programs through the private sector, right? We want to simplify things so that we can empower the citizens of Canada to be more responsible for how they lead their lives so we can actually have more freedom in general for everybody. So it absolutely is common sense policies, and it's not a left or right rhetoric. We don't have that approach. It's everyone else slandering the People's Party with that rhetoric because they have nothing else to go on.
Exactly.
Because they're scared of us. Because they're scared. Well,
they're scared. They're terrified. You're going to see this really ramp up here, Jody.
Barry, I might add, you know, I had three times a party contact me, ask me, why are you running? Why are you doing this? You know, they even said, what would it take to you to bow out? I said, no. And my reply was, my country before your candidate. You know, I'm not going to give up this country. I'm going to fight for this country.
Well, we don't have a choice, do we, at this point? No. Knowing what we know right now, I can't turn my back on it because I realize the dangers that we're in. And I think, you know, honestly, if Canadians were fully informed about what is going on in this country and the dangers it represents, we'd see the sheeple awake. But if so many Canadians are apathetic, and I just can't understand why. I mean, this should be a priority at every dinner table right now, the conversations that we're having. But people seem to be worried more about what the Raptors are doing or the Maple Leafs than what's going on in their country. And that's something we've got to get through to the people.
Well, there's a good reason why people are apathetic with politics in general. I mean, they're just tired of being lied to. So why would they want to believe and participate in something that actually doesn't represent them, right? It's been years from party, like whether it be liberals or conservatives, they've been lied to multiple times. So they're absolutely disenfranchised with politics in general.
Have we had somebody join the show here there, Stephen?
Not that I know of.
Okay, I just saw a number come up on my screen. Actually, if anybody does want to call in, I think we could probably take a couple questions from anybody that wants to put them forward to the guests. You can contact Super Big Bad Man on Skype, or the phone number, Stephen, is?
I give that to you. 269-409-1950.
I just wanted people to hear your voice.
Oh, I see.
Do you like balls?
Well,
you know, guys,
Now that you got my voice on here, I was going to type a message to Jody, but I can just tell him. The next step, they're going to just criticize you until you either drop off or not drop off. And then after that, it'll be threats.
Okay.
First, it'll be...
It's okay. I'm a big boy. I don't take time to threats.
Hey, Hansen, can I ask you how old you are?
I will be turning 37 on Saturday.
Well, that's inspiring to see, but I see a lot of young people getting involved in this party, and that's inspiring. We really got to reach the millennials, man, and make them understand what's going on.
Thank you, and you know what?
Deprogramming is going to be a big job, but we can do it. Go ahead.
The funny thing is, it's interesting, because when I was door knocking to collect signatures for Elections Canada, that was one of the main feedbacks I had received from people who didn't even support the People's Party. Is like, you know, they appreciated the fact that as a person who's younger, getting involved in politics just in general. And that was fantastic to hear from NDP supporters, from Liberal supporters, that type of thing, and Greens. It was great because they recognize that it's the younger generation who are going to be the leaders, who will become the leaders of Canada. And we need people to get involved and understand what's going on.
Yeah, well, I see a rise in attention in the millennials, even young people I talk to now. Without a word of a lie, when I start talking about Justin Trudeau to a lot of young people, they have the same reaction that the guy's got to go with it. He's a nutcase. And that's good, because we need them to get involved, because they are the people that are going to be taking care of this country in the near future. And if things keep going the way they are, I think a lot of them realize that we're looking at a pretty bleak future. So it's good to see that happen. So, Jody,
yeah.
What's your position on pipelines?
Oh, gee, you scared me there for a second. I thought you were going to ask me for my age. Oh,
you're up there, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. Yeah. No, you're not old. You're only somewhere around 50 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm no millennium. Oh, I'm old. Hey, my position on pipelines, just not pipelines, but on natural resources, I'm all pro jobs, basically. Right. You know, our country, you know, this is our like our bread and butter, you know, our natural resources, you know, just for pipelines alone, we have 840,000 kilometers of pipeline. You know, that's 840,000. I think that could go around the world.
There is another call now, Barry.
Yeah. So,
Just for a minute. Wait for a minute, caller, and let Jody finish this up. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
How can our country be against pipelines if we have that much, you know, pipeline running through our country, right? And we got to get our natural resources to the market, get top dollar, so we can afford better health care, better education, better housing, better drinking water. You know, it's just common sense, right? Go ahead, Bear.
I think we've got a caller in the room right now. Who's called in? Caller?
Yeah, hi. It's Kelly Elizabeth in Southern Alberta.
Well, hello, Kelly. You wanted to ask a question and make a comment. Welcome to the show.
I think I'd like to make a comment. Is this Cody Pyant you've got on and Jody Craven? Is that who you've got on right now?
I've actually, Cody had a little bit of a mix at the beginning of the hour. I'm joined right now by Hanson Jin, and I have Jody Craven still in the room.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, no, I just wanted to make a comment about something I observed that was just so genuine when I met Mac. excuse me. There was a breakfast presentation in Medicine Hat, Alberta, and I hadn't had a chance to go into any of the town halls yet. And so I went down to Medicine Hat, went to this breakfast presentation, And there was, before the presentation, there was a little group of people, you know, sort of gathered around Max as they were chatting with him. And I was observing him. I was watching him speak with a 92-year-old woman. And they were engaged in deep conversation. I was really impressed watching Max speaking with this woman. And, you know, not blowing her off because she was, you know, 92. And she was waving her finger at him, you know. Now, Mr. Bernier, if I vote for you, are you going to take care of seniors? And she, you know, waving her finger a little bit. And he was having a really great conversation with this woman. And I just kind of stood back in awe and I watched how he was conversing with this lady. And I just, at that moment, just watching him, I realized how genuine he really is.
Yes, yes.
And anybody I've talked to that has met him, sat and talked with him, has gotten that exact same, you know how you just get a feeling sometimes about somebody, you know, once you observe them. Yeah.
Hey, Barry, may I add on to that?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, this lady's exactly right, eh? Like, I helped out in the by-election in Nanaimo, and that's the first time I met Max. And I went to the luncheon with Max with my aunt, right? And she's 76 years old. And Max took time to talk to everybody in the room. It wasn't like a minute or two. He took time and he listened. It wasn't like, yeah. He really genuinely listened to everybody's concerns.
Yes. This is what I was trying to spit out. He was intensely listening to what this lady had to say. And I just sat patiently and waited because I wanted him to sign a copy of my founding membership certificate, which I had laminated and brought a black felt pen. And I asked him to remember my name, and I'll bet you he has. And but it was just what I observed. And so I'm really floored when I watch you know, staunch blue conservatives start fighting the PPC, and they're practically mimicking the left and their tactics, the way that they fight online. But I thought, you know, if they met him, they would know that they're on the wrong path.
Absolutely. You know, when I heard this week he's going to be allowed to be in the debates, man, I tell you, I came right off my chair, because Canada is going to see this man talk. And when you see him talk and you listen to him talk, you come to the conclusion that he's speaking the truth. And boy, him being in these debates, you know, strange things have happened in the past in political situations. And to say that a Trump-style event couldn't happen in Canada, I think you have your head in the sand that if Canadians really hear the message, they have to resonate with it, because it's, like I said, it's all common sense. And nothing we see going on right now in the country is common sense. So I'm excited
absolutely.
For it. None of it, which is like true. I said, you know, Kelly, I never thought I'd get behind politics in my life like this, but I've never seen it. Never.
Yeah. So, but you know, things have gone so far left that Max almost, common sense Max almost seems extreme to people because things have gone so far left, you know?
Yeah, people are thinking that's the norm. Anybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might type in here, and to your point about blue conservatives as well, seeming to adopt the leftist rhetoric and the attack style towards the People's Party. Yeah. The interesting thing is what they're doing in that case is they're more concerned about their branding and the party rather than their actual principle, which is a shame, actually, to see that.
It is.
It's
it
the
is.
Color of the day, you whatever know, the color of the day is.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and the other thing you see a lot of right now is everybody's asking, well, where is the CPC confirmed official platform? It's nowhere to be found. The truth is, if you phone the CPC headquarters and ask them for an official copy of their platform, they will direct you to a page, which is Andrew Scheer's My Vision for Canada. And on this page is simply a list of intentions and pledges. It is not a platform. Yes. And I believe, and this is a total lack of conviction in my mind, but I believe that the reason that they're doing that is because they are going to wait until the 11th hour, they're going to observe all of the analytics and, oh, is this issue polling correctly or is this issue polling correctly? And because they want the option to pull and put things off of the table the closer they get to the election. In fact, it's apparently well known inside of the CTC circles that they're not even going to release their official party platform until October 21st.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea.
You know what? You're probably too far off with that thinking.
Oh, you gotta laugh. You gotta be kidding me, man. That doesn't make you laugh. I don't know.
But what is that?
Sounds like a page of the Communist Manifesto to me. Go ahead.
Jody, what does that say, right? Are you saying, we don't trust Canadians enough to be able to have the information in advance and to be able to weigh our platform against all of the other platforms out there? I mean, it's almost an insult even to their own members.
That's
very condescending.
Like, yeah, it sounds like the Canadians' voices don't matter, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to make us believe in him. Right. But our party is about Canadians first. Right. Our country first. Right. And we listen just like Max, like what you said, he listens to everybody. And I'm sure Hansen, myself, we always take time to listen to people. And because everybody has a concern. Right. But at least we listen and then we filter it out and we address it. Right. But, you know, Andrew Scheer, you know, he's just reading from a script every time, right?
Yeah. And not only that, it's like, well, why are you waiting until the last possible minute? Are you waiting for, you know, analytics?
Because his numbers will drop. His numbers will drop.
Right, exactly. Well, if you know that about your own platform, that if you put it out there too early, your numbers will drop, what does that say?
That says the Conservatives picked the wrong leader.
I think so.
Yeah.
I believe so. And you said Hansen's on the line, eh?
Yeah.
Yep.
I know who that is. I know who we're talking to now.
Yeah, good man. Good man. He's my brother. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Jody's my brother from up north.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I thought I just would point that out, that why are they waiting until the last minute? Why can't they just come out with a platform and allow Canadians lots of time to mull it over? Or do they simply just not trust Canadians? Or are they waiting for analytics to make up their mind for them so that they can then decide what they believe on based on what they think they can?
They know if they release it, the numbers will drop. They're scared.
I can't believe we're having this kind of a conversation in a general election in Canada. I mean, it just baffles me that this is going on.
That's right.
That we're supposed to elect a party based on Scheer's vision for Canada, flying around in his brand new shiny jet. Well, he's got to be a good guy because he's got a jet just like Justin.
Oh, God. Yeah.
What a joke. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I've been watching, and I watch a lot of social media, so I really watch what people are saying. You know, what are they saying? If people are starting to ask their own, you know, membership is starting to ask, well, where's the platform? And so now all of a sudden you see that Andrew Scheer is sort of bringing his family into the campaign. So it's a bit of a bait and switch if you ask me, you know, well, okay, well, we don't have a confirmed platform, but, oh, look, here's my family.
Hmm.
You know, it also seems to point to is he doesn't trust Canadians to really decide for themselves. So we're going to hold out, try and get as many votes as possible, and then announce something after the fact when it's too late to make a decision.
But Hansen,
can
I ask you something?
Go ahead.
Do you trust a used car salesman?
Heck no. I can tell you this. I refuse to work for somebody I do not trust. I refuse to follow a leader I do not trust. I do not trust Andrew Scheer.
Yeah.
But I trust Maxime Bernier.
The insurance salesman that became Speaker of the House and then leader of the opposition, that guy?
Yeah.
What a joke. The selection
process.
Yeah, absolutely. You just need to look at what they used to do, where they came from. Do they really have an idea as what it's like for everybody else, the 37 million people in Canada?
Hey, Barry. Barry, all I gotta say, me and Hanson's been talking every day, and we're saying, watch out, House of Commons, if we get in, you know.
That's right.
Well, yeah, you know, there would be thousands and hundreds of thousands of Canadians that would be having a very good day, but, you know, we still got a lot of time before this election. Like I said, these national debates, I believe, are going to sway a lot of people's opinion, and they'll start paying attention to what this means. And I said that was one of the best things I heard this week. When that was brought to my attention, I kind of came off my chair and said, yeah, because you know what? He's going to blow them out of the box, because you're going to have four candidates there. Well, they're going to have four candidates in there reciting the same crap, and then you have Maxine. And if you listen to it carefully,
only if Maxine is willing to drop the gloves. This is going to be his chance to show us the conviction that he's been, well, we already know Maxine has conviction, but this will be his chance to showcase his conviction for Canada.
I think he'll come out swinging, Kelly.
I hope so. I want to see him drop the gloves, because people are tired of the leftist crap, and they're tired of the centrist crap, because I think even the young people now are waking up and realizing, like, holy cow, this isn't just a bunch of, you know, old people, you know, going on about politics. This is really serious. This is like nothing that has happened in Canada before. And I think they're finally getting it. And they're listening to their parents talk about it every day, the really younger ones. And people, you know, middle-aged, middle-class people are feeling the effects every day of the last 4 years, either themselves personally or someone they know or someone in their town or their community. And they're realizing where this is all coming from. We have to get rid of Trudeau. Yes. Do I buy into the vote splitting argument because of that? No, no, I do not. I do not buy into the vote splitting argument at all. And people say, well, you know, Max will be great later. Max has the best platform, but he'll have to do it later. And I always say, well, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Just do it now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
And
never,
the funny thing is,
never the wrong time.
Sorry.
Yeah.
To add to what you're saying, actually, as a really good point is, I remember when I tweeted out when the People's Party announced our immigration policy, and I got feedback saying, it's like, well, that's what everyone's thinking, but we have to vote Justin out. And it's like, if everyone's thinking that, then all they have to do is vote for what they believe in, and we would be solving the issue altogether, and we wouldn't have to, there is no vote splitting.
Well, the easiest way to turn that around is to say to the conservative, yes, you're right. There is vote splitting going on, because you will not vote PPC, because you will not make the right decision the first time. You're going to play a very long, extensive game. They say, well, I'm in it for the long game, the long game. Okay, but the long game entails another 350,000 minimum people coming into Canada, more costly programs, more money spent on a bid for a seat at the Security Council, at the United Nations on the Security Council, when the Liberals have already spent a ton of money on that, as far as I'm concerned. If we really wanted in, that seat should be bought and paid for by now. But it's never going to be, because Canada just admitted to genocide of our own First Nations people. Trudeau stood up and talked about it. It's like, we're responsible for genocide. Oh, you're really going to get your seat now. But the Conservatives announced in the Globe and Mail that they were going to continue with this for that seat. So there's more money that's going to have to be thrown around over the pond in a bid for that seat. I see how good we are. Look what we're doing. You should allow us on a seat at the United Nations, you know. There's more money. And this crap about the carbon tax. Well, we're just going to tax the large emitters. Okay, two things people don't understand about that. Number one, guess what? You're not getting a refund like you are now, at least under the Liberals. And number two, aren't our largest emitters also happen to be our largest employers? How is that going to affect, how are those kinds of increased costs going to affect their immediate labor force and wages? And
someone told me there the other day there, Kelly, that Canada is like carbon neutral.
1.6%.
No, we're beyond carbon neutral. We absorb more carbon than we produce based on our forest mass in Canada. You can search
Actually, four different searches I did. Jody, I remember the word. Somebody had said that because of all of our trees, that in fact we weren't just 1.6% of total world emissions or even under 2%, that we were in fact a carbon sink because of the amount of forestry that we have. So, you know, I mean, we can fight the climate change game all we want. This is coming from a bigger place than just our immediate government. I mean, that is New World Order stuff. That's Agenda 21. That's happening all over the world. That's going to be one hell of a battle. But I think the immediate things that affect people are all of these taxes combined with having to pay for numerous programs, with having to pay for, carbon taxes or capping, taxing our largest emitters, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is all of it is going beyond the ability for the average Canadian to pay. So what happens when everything adds up and has gone beyond your ability to pay? Now what?
Absolutely. Good point. Get used to being tax-free after the end of September, maybe, eh? You're absolutely right. They're funneling the country in a certain direction. It's designed to destroy the middle class, uproot the family, and divide our society. And they're so good at it. They've been doing it for a long time. Why would you change something that works great? You know what? We're down to about 9 minutes. We're down to about 9 minutes yet. So I'm going to let you speak for a minute.
I'm going to get off. It was really nice.
Thanks, Kelly.
Kelly, no, I'm not chasing you away. Great to hear your input. Hey, Kelly, listen, your input's always appreciated on the show. You're a very intelligent lady, and thanks for joining us. And anybody who doesn't know, Kelly does a lot of things for me behind the scenes, and I absolutely thank her for everything she does for me and my little radio show. So thanks for joining us.
You can add me to Facebook.
Okay, I'm getting off.
Thanks,
Kelly.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye, Kelly. No, she's a hardworking lady, guys, and her heart's in the right place, and she has a really good way of analyzing stuff, and I listen to her talk, and we have great conversations, so thanks
for joining. Very knowledgeable.
She is. She really kind of gets down to common sense, and it's like what we really need to reinstall in society, guys, when it comes down to it in a nutshell. We need to reinstall common sense in this society of ours because we've lost it. We've got to deprogram the youth, and that alone is a monumental task. But when we look at how they've been programmed and the influences that are surrounding them, we have so many things that need to be changed, but we can change them all if we identify them and we share that knowledge with our friends and neighbors, and they start looking at things in a common sense approach. It has to wake them up because, like I said, nothing I see going on right now makes any common sense at all. Like I said, we're down to about 8 minutes. Hanson, I want to thank you for joining in, Guy. It was nice talking with you, and I'd like you to speak for a couple of minutes on what you see coming and what your chances you think are actually getting elected in your riding, and what do you see going forward, bud?
Well, thanks for having me on, Barry. I do appreciate the airtime. Quite frankly, I'm going to finish this off with the same thing I've been saying to a lot of people. Like, this election year is, I believe, all about our values as Canadians. Clearly what we've been doing for decades is voting the party out that we were just angry with, and it's not working. We got ourselves to this point because of that, where we're not voting for what we want and believe in. We're just voting someone out. So this is an election year for just purely on values. Vote for something you do want to see in government. Like, I stepped forward because I want to bring accountability back into our government system, because there is none. Or if there is some, it certainly doesn't feel like there's any, and that's the problem, right? So that speaks to the disenfranchisement that I'm running across with a lot of people who are like, I don't care about politics, or I stopped voting, right? Now, in terms of my chances, the current incumbent in my riding is Peter Julian. He's of the NDP. He appears to be very well liked, very well known. Despite that, in my heart, I feel like I still have a really good chance of winning.
Good.
You just never know. Polls may say otherwise, but you know what? If there's enough upset people, you just never know. They may normally vote one way or another, but they're looking at the entire political landscape, and they're like, something's just not right here, and maybe they'll do a protest vote, or maybe just maybe, they'll seek out the other party platforms and do their own due diligence and say, my standard party no longer represents me. And they've changed their vote for the first time, possibly even to the PPC.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend, and thanks for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Jody.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Your thoughts before we shut the show up this week.
Well, Hansen's got my vote. He's got my support. I'm really working hard in this riding, and I'm going to win. And, you know, we got to bring values back to our country. And the last 2 hours went fast, right? It was a great show. And I encourage people, you know, this is the most important, vote in Canada's history. So we got to vote to get our country back on track. Simple as that, right? Don't vote because you're against something. Vote for change. And that's it. You got to vote for change. Read up and do your homework.
Well, I honestly, at this point, folks, that I sit back and I look at everything that's going on in this country, I feel we're at a pinnacle right now. And if we don't win this battle, then we're going to lose it for good. And I am not a fear-mongering type of person, but I look at how fast things are changing and how fast they're going to change in the future if we don't stop this madness. But I say to people, you just got to take some time out of your day. Look at what's going on. Ask yourself rationally if any of this makes any benefit or has any benefit for you in the future. And if you really do some serious research, you'll come up with the same conclusion that everybody sitting here is that nothing is being done for our country, that our country is being destroyed from multiple levels and multiple angles from people that have no good intention for the future of this country, and people are waking up to that. And my hope today is that people just take that time out and do that, because my heart is broken in this country, guys. I've been here for 65 years, and I know what kind of life I've had in this country, and I'm so happy that I grew up in Canada. And I want my children to be able to experience the same thing. If things keep going the way they are, they're not going to. And we have no reason for being complacent. We know this out there. We know that the governments are evil and that they have no intention for the future of this country. And it doesn't take long to discover that. And that being said, then we really have to look in the mirror and say to ourselves, what is the most important thing in your life right now?
Exactly.
My children, my future, and what I can leave behind. And that's our legacy. We really have to sit down and look in our hearts, guys. Thanks to my guests for joining me this week. Thanks to Laura Lynn in the first hour. Thanks, Jody, for hanging around for the second hour. It's been a pleasure talking with you guys. And Hansen, I would love to have a chat with you again.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining me, guys, this week. It's been a pleasure. And I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.